Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
All right, you're going to have to forgive us because we do have to step out of that and continue with our book review being a Tuesday. So we've asked Griffin Shear, who is our regular here on the show, owner of Bridge Books, to help us navigate some books. Hello, Griffin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Okay, so you there was a disclaimer that you're not reading much at the moment, or you haven't gone through much at the moment, but I love your selection. Let's start with what you're currently busy with. You said Heated Rivalry.
Which I would put a disclaimer is pretty much total smut, but very fun.
So, yes.
To put it into perspective, they're having sex before the end of the first chapter.
Good Lord.
You know, it's that kind of a book.
Yes.
It's also sort of an interesting, like, gay romance with these two hockey players who meet in high school and kind of have an eye for each other but aren't really sure what's going on. And then they both become professional and they're top of their career. And one is, like, American and one is Russian, and they're star-crossed lovers. And end up having this kind of secret, almost marriage that they're trying to keep out of the limelight. Mm. And so there's a lot of hockey and a lot of playing games to stay on the down low.
Yes.
And it's really just very fun and not a big thinker. And it's what you do on the weekends. And I have to say, you know, to humble brag, after finishing all that PhD work, this is where I'm at in my reading habits right now.
Congratulations. Is it going to translate well into TV, you think? I think it will.
I think it's perfect for television. Yeah. You know, I think given the right treatment, it is exactly that sort of, I don't know, I was about to say Grey's Anatomy for sports. You know, it's something like that. It's just interesting enough to keep you going. There'll be beautiful people to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about hockey, but I feel like that's incidental to the story. You know?
Yeah, I totally get you. It does feel to me like it's a perfect book for television. In fact, even if there was no book and there was just a television series, I think it would work.
And I think it's just a part of this also interesting phenomenon about women writing gay romance, because the author is a woman, and I was actually speaking about this with the librarian who's working with us at Victoria Yards at our new container library we're doing at the Gearhouse Library. And she had also just finished the book and loved it. And I was like, oh, so it's speaking to people on lots of levels. Like, it feels like it's targeted to be sort of a queer fiction thing, but it's clearly attracting a much broader audience than that.
Okay. Then there is The Seven Moons of Mali Almeida.
Which I took a big trip to Sri Lanka last month to meet some friends. And so this book is set in Sri Lanka kind of during the Civil War when the Tamil Tigers were active.
Yep.
And when I was a baby journalist, we used to edit quite a lot of stories about that conflict. And I realized reading this book, I did not actually internalize what was behind the headlines. And so this one is about a wire service photographer working for the AP. And it's not a spoiler. This happens in the first chapter, but he's dead.
Yeah.
And the entire story is his ghost trying to unravel the mystery of who killed him and how did he die. The conceit of the book is that when you die, you go to kind of a waiting room where you have choices about where you're going to go, but you've lost your memory. So you have to kind of piece together the bits of your life a bit from scratch. So he could remember his loved ones and he could remember parts of his life, but basically the entire book is him exploring, trying to avoid other ghosts, trying to steer his loved ones to help him figure out who killed him, to keep them out of trouble, to try and finish his life's work. And it's actually just a really compelling read. And sometimes these award winners I find are too challenging for me to actually enjoy. You know, it's a lot of work.
I know what you mean. But I have to say that you must be ready to explore when you read this book. So don't expect the kind of story where you'll be taken, you know, by the hand and paced through the novel. You are going to be dumped into what I think is a mind adventure. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and it's very, I mean, it's a thick book, but it's, I found it like really fast paced. Like I just powered through it and it was just very compelling, but there is a lot to keep track of. And so I think to do like plan it for a period when you can deep dive into it. And when I was done, I just also felt like sort of exhausted and disappointed.
Yes, because you do the work, but yes, I know exactly what you mean, because the writer doesn't spoon feed you. You have to, as you read, also work along with the writer.
And there's quite a lot going on, you know, and it was just a very interesting exploration also of like Sri Lankan culture and cosmology, and it really explained a lot about that conflict that I really felt I should have remembered but didn't.
Yeah.
And also one of those things where sometimes that kind of historical fiction resonates with us more strongly than a news report. Mm. To encounter it through like in a more emotional prism is really more powerful and stays with us. And just like the entire thing, you know, the Seven Moons is basically, it's really 7 days that he's got to unravel the mystery and decide what's happening for the afterlife, you know, to make sure that he gets to have a better afterlife. But it's just like sort of a really lovely conceit, and the characters just feel very, quite powerfully drawn, and everyone's friendship feels very real and sincere. The kind of interpersonal conflicts also feel very like genuine and hard fought and just like very compelling. I can't say enough about it.
I would say a very good holiday read, because you're not doing anything else and you can literally deep dive, stay there and get lost. That's how I feel.
And it, one of those books where it felt like an entry point, because it made me want to explore his earlier novel, which I haven't picked up yet. But one of those where you're just like, you're not ready for it to be done, even though it's been a while to get through it.
No. I think it's a good read, especially for the holidays. I think it's a definitely good read. The Book of Doors by Gareth Brown.
So this is part of my, I've been on a bit of a binge about reading about bookshops, which is just sort of like comfort food, I guess, at this point. I don't know. And this one is, the main character is working in a small independent bookshop, so there's clearly no parallels. You know, it's completely random. And a man dies in the first chapter and leaves her a magical book called The Book of Doors. And it turns out that when you're holding the book and you're visualizing a place, you can open any door, and it will open on the other side anywhere else and on Earth and anywhere else in time as well. So this woman starts traveling and sort of having great fun with it, and then realizes actually there are many more of these other books, and they're not all so pleasurable. They're not all kind of positive and adventurous, and there are dark forces trying to collect them all so they can, you know, kind of take over the world sorts of things. So she meets a librarian who has hidden a library in a shadow in Scotland, and it's all about trying to figure out like how these pieces fit together. But it's really also a love story to books, even though like the magical books don't have stories in them. It's a very, you know, lovely metaphor about like the power of reading, and you know, it's a very easy metaphor, like we're being transported and going places, but also that like these books can do things to us that we don't think about or process.
I was surprised this was a debut novel.
Yeah, and it's really very, you know, it's very fluid. It's a wonderful, like also fun read. And
very well written, I must say.
Very well written, and the drama is there, and it's definitely a page turner, but also I think the characters are just a lot of fun. The little bit, maybe some stereotypes of like the librarian's a bit dour.
It's the first one.
The woman working in the bookstore is a little bit shy and a little bit mousy, but then they all kind of evolve over time too and have these other relationships. It's also quite globetrotting, which I enjoy. So you know, you're kind of hopping all over the planet, and I just think it's super fun and a nice reminder about why reading is a pleasure too.
Love reading. Isn't the cover beautiful? It was one of those covers I thought, I should have thought of that.
Very gorgeous. And it reminded me, there was a South African book like 10 or 15 years ago called, I'm going to mix up the title, but it's Deerskin and Double Love.
Yes.
And about a girl who lives in an apartment block in Cape Town and finds a giant set of keys. And it's also that sort of thing where the keys open these different passages. And there's something just really nice and kind of a secret garden thing about it that I think also speaks to like our childhood fantasies. And that's just very, I don't know, they're just, it's very fun. You know, it reminds me of Monsters, Inc. too, you know, where the doors are opening to all the different children's bedrooms.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's stay with that theme, seven kinds of people you find in bookshops.
So this one's nonfiction, written by Sean Blythel, who runs a bookshop in Scotland, in a little town that is quite famous for having a lot of bookshops and having a very big book fair.
Yeah.
His first one was more of a diary that was actually just like day to day what's happening in the bookstore and the people who come through. And it was always very comforting because he would also post how many books had been sold and how much he had earned. It's like, oh, even in Scotland, the book trade is not always easy, okay? And this one is just sort of a bit making fun of his customers and the, like, the know-it-all who comes in, the people who come in, and you know they're going to, like, not buy anything, but kind of ask you to watch their kids while they browse for 2 hours, you know? And it's also just, like, very witty and fun. He posts a lot on social media about the day-to-day life in his bookstore too, so I feel like if you shop there, you're kind of braced for the possibility that you will be publicly mocked, you know. But also a lot of affection for his town and for his vocation and for the people who come in, and because really people who come in to bookstores are particular,
they are a particular breed.
His bookstore is sort of like a collector's treasury sort of place, you know, where there would be an entire section devoted to railways and an entire section on like maritime history. You know, kind of hundreds of thousands of books in an old building that you can get lost in. But I can definitely appreciate his frustration with, like, the busload of tourists who, like, wash through and then wash back out. And it's sort of like, what just happened there? And there was nothing sold, you know? So.
I want to end quickly with the 100th anniversary edition of Thomas Mofolo, Chaka. This is an important, it's a classic, is it not?
It's a classic, and it's something that we've been working on at Bridge and with our Lit District partners for about 2 years now. Because we could find it in English, we could find it in Afrikaans, we could even find it in Italian and French and German. But to find the original Sesotho version, we had to go digging in archives and hunting really deeply, and to find a current edition was almost impossible. And these copies in the archives were generally not available to check out because they were, they're so few, you know, they're in the archives, not in the lending library. So we worked at the University of Pretoria and at WITS and at UNISA and took pictures of the pages because they're so delicate, we couldn't even put it flat to scan it or photocopy it. And extracted all of that text and had to make a lot of really interesting decisions with people who are much more expert in the language about how to deal with the spellings and the idiosyncrasies of the time, because the language evolved over 100 years. So the way, even the way he spells Shaka is with a C, and people kept asking, like, why?
Are you sure it's Shaka, as in Shaka that we,
But I'm so pleased with it. It's
The one that was spelled with an S by many.
But the same person.
Yes, exactly.
And this is a novelized version of his life that Thomas Mofolo wrote. And it was the first novel published in an African language in South Africa. So it's really something that should be in schools and libraries everywhere. And what we did was do a paperback edition that's quite affordable at like 180 rand so that hopefully it could find a wide audience. And we've done a really gorgeous limited edition, like collector's edition, with the very lovely people at Pulp Paperworks at Victoria Yards. And they have done a hardcover, cloth-bound, gold-embossed, hand-stitched version that is just a joy to, like, hold and to touch. And even if you can't read the language, as an object in your home, it is something that is so beautiful. And it just gave me tingles and goosebumps when we opened the boxes and saw how wonderful they are.
How many copies have you got?
So for the collector's edition, we only did 100 for the 100th anniversary. The paperback one, we're selling at Bridge, but we also are distributing nationwide through all the other bookstores can get it. So there should be, hopefully be copies popping up.
No, I want to talk about the fancy bit.
Yes, come, that's at Bridge.
And how much are you selling that for?
So we're selling it at $700, which I think is quite a fair price for a hardback.
Yeah.
That's been hand-stitched.
No, absolutely. I've seen books that cost more that have
Yeah, the art books are a lot now.
That have done, so really amazing. So is it ready?
It's ready. It is on the shelves. You can order it on our website or come by the shop. And we've finished our remodel in town, so we are no longer covered in dust. Like, all of us are feeling very good about our sinuses now.
Lovely.
And I have to say, it's very beautiful. That's beautiful new lights, beautiful new floors. Everything looks great. So I'm very grateful to the landlord who has made all of this happen with us. It's the most beautiful store we've ever had.
Sounds like a fantastic Christmas gift.
Yes, I think so. I agree. Yes.
Thank you, Griffin. See you soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Griffin Shear is owner of Bridge Books. And the list is The Seven Moons of Mali, which is MAALI, Almeida by Shahar. The author has been a Booker Prize before, a Booker Prize winner before, so very accomplished. And this is not the first novel, but certainly worth a read. It's a big deep dive. If you have a lot of time on your hands, please do that. I think over the holidays, if you've got time and you don't want to be bored, this is one of those good books that you can go into. Then there is The Book of Doors by Gareth Brown. I loved this. The cover is beautiful. Very, very nice. Easy read and all of that. Seven Kinds of People you find in bookshops. Lovely as well. Very nice to go into the experiences of a shop owner. And another one we started with, The Heated Rivalry by Rachel Reed. This is easy. Nothing difficult about this one. Apparently, we're told it's going to be turned into a TV series, I think. And then, of course, the gift that I think I'm going to be getting for somebody or some people is the 100th anniversary edition of Thomas Mofolo Chaka. It is spelled, it's not incorrect, it's spelled with a C, as in Shaka with a C, C-H-A-K-A, but it is the very Shaka, king of AmaZulu that we know of. So it is the Sesotho edition, which is really quite a limited edition. So go to Bridge Books for those copies if you like. Go to the website and you can order yourself a copy online.
These are stories you need to know today.
Controversial business.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.